What's up, Creamers?
Creamer.
It's me, Hot Joe, and I am not joined with my co-host, Sammy Daddy. And I'm here to talk to Turkey like Ted Turner about some professional wrestling.
Can we button your shirt?
No.
Oh, you gotta look real good.
I'm gonna look as good as I can, but I can't button it because it won't fit. I hate it.
Okay, hold it.
Leave me alone.
Here. Just let me.
Do the best you can, Sammy.
I am going to spin the wheel and determine AEW wrestlers' possible action in moral dilemmas. What's my match count for 2026, the year of super kicks? And as always, we'll leave a microscopic lab-grade sample of room for cream. All that on this episode of... Welcome back, Creamers.
Creamers.
Hot Joe has watched wrestling in the past week. I watched Dynamite from last week, and I watched Grand Slam, which was also pretty dang good. I would have loved to see Brody King win and them just kind of pivot from what they were planning on doing before, but it's fine. So part of it for me was like, okay, we knew it was recorded earlier in the day because it was in Australia. We online, it said like the crowd from Sydney, Australia, definitely chanted fuck ice. And then you're like, okay, are they good? You know, when they had it, when they didn't edit it out or bleep it or anything like that, censor it a few weeks before that, you know, they had kind of plausible deniability. You know what I mean? They could have been like, well, we didn't know what they were saying or something. Right. So like, you know, it's not necessarily that they were being like pro free speech or something like that. I mean, you'd like to think so, but you don't really know. Well, then, you know, on this episode or then on a Grand Slam, when we find out that the audience from Sydney, Australia says fuck ice as well, we are like, okay, so are they going to censor it? Like I said, there's plausible deniability the first time, but this time they recorded it. So like, they might have to edit it out for all we know, you know? So then Brody King comes out. Then MJF starts making his way to the ring. He does not even get into the ring and they go to commercial break. I immediately thought, oh my God, this is how they're editing it out. They're going to just not even include the part where they say it. They went to commercial break because it's MJF. When do they ever go? Like, why would they go to commercial break during his entrance? He didn't even get in the ring yet. Well, then I went on Threads and I saw everybody going on there being like, they censored it. Then the show came back on and then they started announcing each wrestler, Justin Roberts or whoever it was. And then and I was like, you know, I felt good inside. I thought, you know what, I'm a lot of you Creamers at home know I'm an AEW fan. I'm not a WWE fan. And it's not just because I don't like their television show, which is true. I don't. But it's also because of the company itself. And when things like this happen, I think like I'm proud to be a fan of AEW. And I don't know. It made me feel good about being a fan of AEW, and I appreciate that very much. Dynamite was really good too. I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, my match of the week is from Dynamite and not from Grand Slam. But that's just because it was a surprise fucking banger. You probably already know what it is. But before we get to the main topic of the day, I'm going to go ahead and do the ad read since Sammy Daddy is not here with me today. This episode is sponsored by Sock Oven from Thermostep Footwear Preservation Systems Incorporated. You wake up at 7:12. Normally, you would rush. Cold socks, out the door, same crosswalk, same minute, same square of pavement. But you've decided you want more. You want the life of quiet luxury. You want the finer things. You want toasty dogs. And by dogs, we mean your feet. Kitchen counter. First sock, 14 minutes. Second sock, 14 minutes. 28 minutes total for the pair. You slide them on. Warm, cozy, luxurious. You leave your house 28 minutes later than usual. At 7:43, the exact moment you're normally standing at the corner of 9th and Alder, a delivery truck misjudges a turn and clips a stack of unsecured lumber. Boards slide off the truck and crash onto the sidewalk. They land directly where you typically wait. Instead, they landed on a man holding a breakfast burrito. The burrito is destroyed, and the man... You arrive to work at 8:11 instead of 7:43. At 8 o'clock sharp, a conference room glass panel shatters during a team meeting you're usually early for. Tiny shards scatter across the front row chairs. Today, you are not in the front row. Someone else is, and he too is fucking dead. What did the guy from earlier with the burrito and Ted from accounting, who had died in a rainstorm of shards of sharp glass, have in common? They both left this world with not warm feet. Thermostep's sock oven warms each sock in 14 minutes, 28 minutes total for the pair, 28 controlled minutes inserted into your day. If you go to sockoven.com in the next 25 hours and order online, you'll receive 25% off shipping. Inside every sock oven box is a small, unmarked metal disc. Just keep it somewhere safe, okay? Sock Oven by Thermostep Footwear Preservation Systems Incorporated. Remember, it's 28 minutes total for the pair. Oh, welcome back, Creamers. Before I get to the game, I also have just received news that Sammy Daddy has sent in a check-in. See, I didn't tell you earlier, Creamers, but Sammy Daddy is actually on vacation in Las Vegas, Nevada, which is just one state over from me. I says to him, I says, Sammy Daddy, would you like to, you know, hop over one state, you know, while you're out here and hang out with old Hot Joe? And he says to me, he says, no. So he sent in a check-in. So we're going to see how he's doing on his lovely, luxurious vacation in Las Vegas, Nevada.
I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hey. Right, two legs.
Anyway, so I got my date on and let's make the next one. However, there's my friend, the doctor.
What?
Anyway, what is everybody doing here? So, besides
you guys are all out there?
Everything's going great. Oh, Brittany Daddy. Love you guys. And that's all I got to say. So, I love you. I wish you all the best.
Ah, Sammy Daddy. We miss you as well, and we can't wait to have you back next week, Palo. All right, Creamers. Today I'm going to play a little game of spin the wheel and determine what some of the AEW wrestlers would do in moral dilemmas. What I'm going to do is I've got two separate wheels. One of them is numbered, and each number represents a moral dilemma that I will read off of a list of whatever. You know, you'll see. The other one is of the wrestlers themselves from AEW. So first I'm going to spin the wheel of the wrestler and see, you know, who's going to be given this moral dilemma. And then I'm going to spin the wheel of the moral dilemmas and I'm going to try to figure out what this wrestler would do. I'm going to look at it from their perspective and figure out, you know, if they were in this scenario, how would they go about it? So without further ado, we've got the wheel of wrestlers. Will Ospreay is the very first wrestler that I'm going to tell you the moral dilemma of. Now let's spin the old wheel of dilemmas, is what I call it. It landed on 7. So, let's see what 7 is, guys. Let's see what 7 is, Creamers. So, it's Will Ospreay. Number 7. Would they sacrifice their own momentum to elevate a younger talent? Well, it's funny because I do think Will Ospreay, you know, if he was in a situation where he had to sacrifice his momentum to, you know, make a younger talent look really good, I think he pretty much does it all the time. I mean, he doesn't sacrifice his momentum necessarily, but he, you know, he feuded with Kyle Fletcher when Kyle Fletcher was still sort of looked at as like a tag team guy that was just waiting for his partner to return from injury. And I think that really is part of what started skyrocketing him to being in everybody's minds when they think of future main eventers. So I would say that Will Ospreay would, in fact, sacrifice his momentum. Even though he didn't do it then, I think he would. All right, let's see what the next one is. All right, who we got? Kenny Omega. Wow, my two favorite current day wrestlers right in a row. Pretty crazy. So what is the moral dilemma that Kenny Omega is going to have to face and test out his moral compass? Six. How weird. 6-7. It's episode 67. Just a weird coincidence. Anyways, six. Would they publicly admit they were wrong if the fans turned on them? I don't really know. I think that you've had, you know, the brawl out, right? And I don't think people really turned as much on Kenny Omega as they did on the Bucks after that. But I mean, he's publicly spoken about how he has nothing but respect for CM Punk and he doesn't dislike him in any kind of way. And I don't think people were as upset with him about that whole situation as they were with the Young Bucks. But I'm sure there are people who are CM Punk fans that dislike Kenny Omega as well. And I don't know if them hearing that made them say, oh, he's not as bad. I mean, I don't think, you know, the Bucks are bad either, but, you know, he could have. But I don't know if this question means in real life, then I do believe so. And if it was kayfabe, I also do believe so, because every time a baby face used to be a heel, not every time, but a lot of the times they'll, you know, say, oh, I'm sorry for, you know, saying that this city sucks. I think the city's actually pretty cool. And I'm sorry I hit that guy in the crotch, but I don't hit people in the crotch in my matches anymore. I win them fair and square. All right, what do we got next? All right, who's number three? I forgot to tell you guys we're doing eight of these. FTR. Okay, two guys. Two for, as they say. All right. And their moral dilemma. And this is a little bit hard. This one's going to be interesting, I should say, because FTR aren't exactly known for being the most moral of tag teams. Four. Okay. So FTR and four. And four is, would they fake an injury to manipulate public sympathy? Yes, the answer is absolutely yes. I do think they would do that. I don't remember. I mean, obviously, their manager Stokely Hathaway is literally currently doing that. It's kind of like the perfect people to be faced with this moral dilemma, because we already know the answer, and that is that they would do the wrong thing. Fucking FTR, bro. All right, time to spin the wheel again. The wheel of wrestlers. And it's Hangman Adam Page, our favorite Hangman. I wonder what his moral dilemma will be. He's been in there's been times where Hangman Adam Page does the right thing, and then there's times where he does the wrong thing. I think, you know, mostly right thing, but sometimes wrong thing, you know? So let's see what we land on for old Hangman Adam Page. And we get dilemma number one. For the number one character in AEW, the main character of AEW, they say. His dilemma is, would they protect someone who betrayed them if it meant losing a title shot? Okay, hold on. Would they protect someone who betrayed them if it meant losing a title shot? I think, okay, let's see. I don't really know how to even answer this. Okay, so he used to feud with Swerve, of course, the famous feud of both of their career and careers. And they, so like if, so let's say Swerve betrayed him right now and he had to do something to save Swerve from harm in order to, and that, but that would cause him to lose his title shot. Let's say that Revolution coming up. I do think Hangman Adam Page would do the right thing. And I do think he would save Swerve Strickland. If you asked me this a year and a half ago or even a year ago, I would have said, no, man. Hangman Adam Page, he would not do the right thing. But this Hangman Adam Page, our favorite Hangman that we have in 2026, the year of Super Kicks, would in fact protect his rival. All right, who do we got next? Tony Storm. All right. I don't really know, even if you were to ask me about her more, like, you know, is Tony Storm moral? I don't really know how to answer that. I guess, yeah. I mean, I don't, but would she do anything for the title? I guess it depends on if she's in her crazy kind of mood or not, crazy sort of time. All right, let's see. What is her moral dilemma going to be? Moral dilemma number 10, and that is, would they forgive someone who cost them the world title? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's I think so. If someone, you know, if she was to, you know, go up against Chris Statlander, or no, hey, Chris Statlander lost the title last week. That's right. If she was to go up against Tekla, and, you know, I don't know. I guess it would depend on who it was. Like if Mercedes Moné came out and interfered in the match and cost her the title, she would not forgive her. But if, you know, Mina came out and was trying to help her, but then accidentally cost her the title, I think she would forgive her. So I think that that one is morally gray, and it's not just because Tony Storm's in grayscale. Anyways, all right, time for the next wrestler. This is the sixth, which means that we have two more to go after this. Spin the old wrestler wheel. John Moxley. Okay, I mean, this is one of those ones where it's a very usually immoral guy, but you know what? On this past week's Grand Slam Australia in Sydney, Australia, what's his name? Wheeler Yuta was trying to do the wrong thing. He was the one who took the pin from Tony Storm after a Storm Zero. And so that means he was the one who was going to have his head shaved. And he refused, and he tried to run away through the crowd, but John Moxley came over there, and John Moxley says to him, he says, young boy, I am not going to allow you to do the wrong thing. You made a promise. You got to take care of it. You got to do it. And then Wheeler Yuta went into the ring, and they shaved that man. And they shaved him good. God damn it. God damn you to hell. So let's see. What is his dilemma going to be? Moral dilemma number 13, Taz's favorite number. Let's see what it is. Okay, so John Moxley, would they leave AEW if another promotion guaranteed more respect? Well, let's see. He's got as much respect as you can. He's probably the winningest AEW wrestler that there's ever been. He's held the world title more than anybody else, I'm pretty sure. He's definitely never not considered like an important character on the show. I guess what, you know, the rival promotion that he would go to would be WWE. And I don't think he'll ever go back to WWE. I have a buddy who is a WWE fan, a Fedhead, if you will. And earlier we were talking, I was telling him that he should be watching AEW, and he doesn't watch it. He refuses. He says he feels like he'd be cheating on WWE. And then I brought up, another masked man story. Very, very interesting. you know, obviously being sarcastic because it's not interesting. And he responded, Dean Ambrose. And I thought what he was saying was that Moxley is not entertaining on AEW. So I responded and I said, well, what match of his did you not like? Because I know that he's not watched AEW. But I misunderstood what he meant. He was not saying that. He was saying that he thinks the masked man is Dean Ambrose. I have no idea why people think that. It's just insanely ridiculous. First of all, John Moxley's contract is not up. His contract, he's still contracted to AEW. He loves AEW, and I don't think he likes WWE. I mean, he seemed to not like them before. I don't know what would have changed his mind. And I've seen him in interviews before. I think in an interview he said that he will never let AEW become uncool. He's going to always make sure that it's cool. I don't see that being something someone would say. I think his DNA is in AEW, and I don't mean, you know, just because he bleeds all the time. I mean because he's been there since day one, and he's part of the promotion forming into what it is today. It has to do with a lot with Jon Moxley. So I don't think Jon Moxley would leave AEW to go to WWE if they offered him more respect, because, I mean, he gets as much respect as you could possibly get in AEW. Okay, number 7. The penultimate. That's a cool, like a smart guy way of saying the second last one. What do we got? Konosuke Takeshita. Takeshita has slowly been becoming less of a piece of shit and more of a fucking cool guy. Am I right, gang? And I don't know. I mean, he definitely isn't moral-less, if that's even a word. He's definitely not immoral. Okay, let's see. What is his test of wills? Takeshita is number 11. His moral dilemma is, anyways. Okay, would they align with management if it meant stability and power? Well, he aligns with Don Callis. He aligns with Don Callis for that kind of a reason, I think. I mean, he's apparently the original member of the Callis family. But he's not a member of management. I think he would. I don't think that he would do it in a evil way. I think he would just, he's not really like bad or good, you know? He's not a bad guy. He's not a good guy. He's the guy. I made that up. And I think that he would do what it takes to elevate himself in a completely non-nefarious way. Now we are on number 8. This is the last moral dilemma. And then there will never be a moral dilemma ever again in the fucking world, man. Final wrestler is the Young Bucks, my favorite wrestler. I know I said Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay are my favorite wrestler earlier in the show, but they're all my favorite wrestler. But most, the people who have my heart are the Young Bucks. And they, I mean, they're good boys. They're some of our best, you know. Let's see what they would do with this moral dilemma. Moral dilemma, no moro. 12. Okay. The final dilemma. The Young Bucks. Would they intentionally injure an opponent to secure a legacy-defining win? Now, those are my best boys. You know what I mean? I love those boys. I don't think that they could do wrong, really. And so, no, I don't think they would do that. I think that they have sacrificed life and limb for the professional wrestling business, and they wouldn't super kick a fly, if you know what I mean. They've never done, I don't think they've ever done anything wrong in their entire lives, and they're perfect boys. So, yeah, I don't think the Young Bucks would intentionally injure an opponent to secure a legacy defining win, because they're perfect boys, and they don't do that stuff, guys. So, that's the game. Maybe we'll do it again when Sammy Daddy's on here. Why don't you comment below, Creamers? Let me know, what do you think of the moral dilemmas that we had in this game, do you think that the wrestlers would act differently than what I said? Do you think that they would act the exact same? Why don't you let me know? And let me know, too, if you'd like to see this game done again, but with Sammy Daddy in it as well. And obviously, we do both WWE and AEW wrestlers. So there is no John Cena quote of the week. Because as you creamers, you beautiful creamers, you creamy creamers know, the John Cena quote of the week is are excerpts from the book of John Cena quotes that was acquired by Sammy Daddy. I do not have this book. I cannot read his quotes. I don't want to step on the toes of one Sammy Daddy. That's his thing, and I don't want to butcher it. You know what I mean? I know I did the ad read earlier, but that's because we had to, or they would shut us down. The company told us that they'd shut us down, so I had to do it. And so there is no John Cena quote of the week this week. So we're going to skip directly to the match count of 2026, the year of super kicks. But before we do that, we have another final check-in from Sammy Daddy in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Push off. I don't like this part. And here we go. Try number two. Back on the street. Russell King, Sammy Daddy.
I'm a little loud there.
I can't find anybody else that I know. I saw Ronnie Two-Way and Russell Russell.
I remember that.
It's Johnny Arson.
Johnny Arson's out there?
You
didn't tell me. The director, Derek Dillinger's out there in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Do you like wrestling? Who do you think will headline the next WrestleMania? What are your feelings?
It's a regular Sammy on the streets.
Love you. Wish you the best. Bye. Get ready for a stop. Love you, and I wish you the best.
Thank you, Sammy Daddy, for checking in with us. We would like to check in with you as well, and we'll do that through the podcast. So, creamers, comment below and let Sammy Daddy know how you're doing, whether you're commenting on Spotify or you're commenting on Apple, whatever it is, music or whatever, I don't know, or YouTube. Comment below and say, Sammy Daddy, we love you. And I've been up to so and so. You know, I went to the market today. I decided to go on binge. I've started binge drinking, right? Whatever it is, creamers, let them know in the comments below. My match count for 2026, the year of super kicks, is 79 matches. That's right. You guys are too good to me. My match of the week was Tommaso Ciampa versus Kyle Fletcher for the TNT Championship. The Young Bucks versus Private Party versus the Rascals was also incredibly good. They were my best boys. The Young Bucks were in there, and it was in their hometown. But I knew that Ciampa versus Fletcher would be good, but I didn't think it was going to be the best match of the year so far. And it was. It fucking killed. And I think that it's totally okay that Ciampa lost. I think he's going to probably become a little bit more villainous. I was watching an interview of him talking about how he was excited to have his match against Mark Briscoe for the TNT title was, and this obviously happened before the match, was because Mark Briscoe is a natural babyface that everybody loves. Now, I don't think a person who wants to also be a good guy would say that sort of thing, right? I mean, I think his point that he was making was that he wants to fuck up the life of one Mark Briscoe. So I think that, you know, he's got that whole thing where he's like obsessed with the belts. He named the TNT title Sylvie. So I think that he will probably still be in the TNT title picture. I think it's all good. I think that it's just an interesting story beat for what he's doing in AEW. And the match was just so goddamn good. I was at the edge of my seat. And I got no notes. It was a perfect 10. So that was my match count for 2026, the year of super kicks. And now we are going to move on to the rooms for cream. And boy, oh boy, do we have a lot of fucking cream and a lot of rooms filled with that cream. Yeah! So first up is the third man wrestle rugs.
What's up, boys? This is Matt, a.k.a. Wrestle Rugs.
Wrestle Rugs.
Official third man calling in for an RFC. It's going to be real quick, real simple today. This one goes out to all the baking creamers.
Oh, I'm one of those.
Quit putting salt on top of chocolate chip cookies.
I didn't know people
There's
did that.
No need for it.
I didn't know people did that.
A lot of fucking recipes call for salt in the mix, but we do not need thick ass salt rocks sprinkled on top of our chocolate chip cookies.
Wow.
All right. Thanks. Love you, boys.
Well, thanks for calling in, Wrestle Rugs. I didn't know that people were doing that. I don't really know all the cool food trends and stuff like that that often. And so I didn't know that people were doing that. I think that you can put salt on salted caramel cookies. So like if you have like a salted caramel chocolate chip cookie, you definitely want to put some salt on there. Then it wouldn't be salted, right? And also it fits. But I don't think I would ever put salt on a chocolate chip cookie, but salt with chocolate is not bad. There's these breakfast bars I eat every day that have like chocolate on, you know, they're like coated in chocolate and there's salt on top. And then there's like this protein that's supposed to taste like a pretzel inside. And it kind of does, but it's a delicious treat. Probably not what you're probably not supposed to eat that for breakfast, but that's what I do. So thanks for letting us know about the cookie situation. I will make sure that if I ever meet anyone who does that, I'll kill them. All right. Now we've got fucking creamsman of the cream America, Derek Dillinger. I believe he's still in prison. Hopefully not, though. I guess we'll find out in just a moment. This is the Room for Cream of Derek Dillinger, pro wrestling man, Derek Dillinger.
This call is originating from
No, he's still prisoned.
It is being recorded for security guy. Purposes.
Poor little guy.
Hello, creamers. Number one amigo of the show, Derek Dillinger.
Hey, Derek Dillinger.
Specifically for a very important message to Hot Joe here.
Oh.
Joe, is there any way you can put an alert or a bulletin out to the cream team? I'm in prison, and maybe I could use some honey buns because those are currency here behind bars in the pen. I could use it to buy some things. If you could, you know, get me a whole bunch of them and send them to Derek Dillinger at P.O. Box 12-5-3-5, that would be really great. Now this is the point of the call where I do have to leave a message for that audio pervert, Ronald Two Legs.
Whoa, boy.
Ronnie. If the cream taste of winter abandoned the harbor, 6253. 6253.
Creamers, I gotta be honest with you. Every week, two very great friends of the show, Derek Dillinger. They're both in prison for harming one another, I think. And now they're sending messages through here like that. And I don't really know like what any of that means. Like it was like a poem. It was like a poem with numbers at the end. And I don't really know what the hell any of it meant, the poem or the numbers. So I hope they're not like using Wrestle Cream to send illegal messages back and forth, like some kind of codes, like, you know, like 379 or whatever the hell he said means, you know, meet me in the, you know, I don't know, the fucking weight room and stab so-and-so. I hope that's not what they're doing. I don't know. You know, these are bad boys that we're talking about here, and they're hard boys, and they do bad boy and hard boy things, and they're in prison. So hopefully he's not doing any bad boy or hard boy things, but... as far as the honey bun situation, sending to the P.O. box, Creamers, this is sort of a public announcement. Our boy, Derek Dillinger, he's a wonderful creamsman. He's one of our best, and he has been imprisoned. And I don't, you know, he was in solitary confinement for a little while, which I think should be illegal, but... who knows what was going on with him in there. He's probably not in a great headspace, and all he needs is a couple of honey buns. If you guys could send some honey buns to Wrestle Cream, we will send them off to our great friend, beautiful boy, Derek Dillinger, and we'll make sure that those honey buns go from your hands to being inside of Derek Dillinger. Now it's time for the room for cream of Ronnie Two Legs. Hopefully he's out of prison at least. And if he is in prison or out of prison, hopefully he's just decided to forgive Derek Dillinger and their feud, their rivalry, their enemy-ness, their, you know, whatever it is, really, is over. So we'll find out right now with the room for cream of Ronnie Two Legs.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility.
Okay.
It is being recorded for security purposes.
This is a dangerous show.
Hello? Hello? Is this thing on?
It is.
Did it beep? Hello? All right. Whatever. I never know how to work these damn payphones. Hey, what's up, boys? It is your boy, Ronnie Two Legs.
Hey, Ronnie.
Current number one incarcerated creamsman, all-time best creamsman.
That's debatable.
All-time. How do you fucking say creamsman? Spanish. Okay.
Anyway, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm just wanted to say what's up. Still working on some things. Still here.
Yeah.
In jail, unfortunately.
I hear you.
But we're working on that. We got a plan. Fuck, I should be saying that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
You definitely should not be.
This. Anyways, it doesn't matter. What's up, boys?
What if that's what they're doing, guys?
I love the show. Love you, boys. But we got to get to some business here. Using a little bit of correspondence here for the show. So. Derek Dillinger.
Oh, boy.
Accentuate the circumstance while tiptoeing the wire edge. Scream fast towards the sunset. 24, 44,
what the fuck?
76. 24, 44, 76.
What is happening, dude?
All right, boys. This will all make sense here eventually.
I do not want to know what that means.
You know, either way, that's fine.
Oh, boy. Okay, I feel like I'm an accomplice, guys.
Yep. Get me out of jail. It really sucks in here. I can't do this shit anymore. Get me out of here, boys, please. I'll see you later.
I am incredibly concerned with what they're using the platform of WrestleCream and the millions and millions of creamers. Some people say there's even trillions of creamers, but we haven't got that in our analytics yet, but we'll definitely let you know. But they're listening to the show and they're listening to two hardened criminals in the professional wrestling business, trading back poems and combinations of numbers. And I am incredibly scared that I am now an accomplice and that I'm going to go into the prison with them. And I don't want to go to prison, guys. I don't want to go to prison at all. Hot Joe can't last in prison. I can't. And I refuse. So, Derek Dillinger, I know you can't hear the show, right now. And same with you, Ronnie Two Legs. But if you guys do hear this, please do not pass weird messages along on the show anymore. You're scaring old Hot Joe. Okay. This is a scary HJ. Yeah. And we're on to the final room for cream of our guest rooms for cream. Professional wrestling lady, fucking Jessie Blair.
Hello there, Wrestle Cream Nation. It is Jessie Blair. Coming at you with a special Southwest edition.
Oh yeah,
of Room for Cream. I'm currently on vacation.
I love the Southwest.
Arizona. Just went to the Grand Canyon yesterday.
Nice.
And spent the weekend at the Grand Canyon. Extended stay at the Grand Canyon.
Hell yeah!
Very nice. Very beautiful. Very vast.
Very best.
Hiking around Arizona. So, needless to say, Blair's Stone Oven Deli has been closed for the last week or so.
Makes sense.
Which is okay, because we had to do a couple of repairs inside, making things all well and good.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
For more sit-down traffic, because that is what people are missing. People are missing their third places, and hopefully we can make Blair Stone Oven Deli a third place for you. We can expand our menu and get even more and make more opportunities for people outside of the deli community. Hope everyone's having a great day, and I wish you the best.
Jessie Blair, everybody. Now that one, I like the when Jessie Blair sends in Rooms for Cream, because she's not using the program to commit crimes or whatever. I don't know what those boys are doing, what those hard boys are doing, but those bad boys need to knock it off. But Jessie Blair, thank you for calling and thank you for letting us know. I love the Southwest. I've been to Arizona. I've been to the Grand Canyon, proposed to my wife there. It was an accident. you know, not proposing to her. That was on purpose because she's my best bud. But I wanted to propose to her somewhere else, but I got nervous, and it was the last place we were going on this vacation, so I had to do it, or I, you know, it was now or never situation. But yeah, I wanted to do it at Antelope Canyons, which is, or is it Antelope Canyon? Either way, it's a beautiful place. But I don't know. Anyways, Arizona's beautiful. Utah is beautiful as well. Zion National Park. You know, if you can go out there, Jesse Blair, I think you would really enjoy it. There's this one trail, because you said you were hiking trails. There's this one trail in Utah in Zion National Park where it's like a river, and it's usually like, for the most part of this trail, you're in, because you're in water, and it's a hike, it's a trail, but you're in water, and you're about like maybe thigh high up is where the water is, but then at some points it goes like maybe up like to your chest, but then it goes back down. And you know, I don't know, you can rent like equipment like right outside of there, like rubber, you know, like pants and stuff like that. It's a really cool thing, and it's really fun to just hike through water like that. It's very different than every other hike you've ever done. I'm happy you're enjoying the Southwest, and I hope Sammy Daddy is also enjoying the Southwest, because he is in Las Vegas, Nevada. Everybody's over here. Sammy Daddy is in my time zone, though. I don't think Arizona is on the same time zone. I think it's Mountain Time. I know that there's two time zones in Arizona, one that doesn't observe daylight savings time, and one that does. I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe it's Mountain Time. Who knows? Either way, I don't think it's the same time as here, but Las Vegas is, and Sammy Daddy is on my time right now, but he, again, refuses to come over here and hang out with me. He'd rather just check in with us, which is fine. I'm glad he did it. I'm glad he was on the show. Now, my room for cream, gang. The Wrestling Observer Awards came out the other day for 2025, the year of our lives. And I don't want to go over all of them or anything like that, but I just want to read some of them because there's been a lot of online discourse about it. And let's see, where did I have that list? Okay, so let's see. The ones that like people are upset about are like, let's see, the Tag Team of the Year, Young Bucks. I don't think people are mad about that one. They could be. I don't know. I mean, I would agree with it. They're the best tag team in the world. Best non-wrestler of the year, Don Callis. I think so. Match of the year, Kenny Omega versus Gabe Kidd at Wrestle Dynasty. Now, a good friend of the show, Wrestle Ruggs, just said the other time he was called in that if he saw that match last year, it would have been his match of the year. So you can't really argue against that one. Worst match of the year, Cody Rhodes versus John Cena at WrestleMania 41. That one probably pisses people off. I didn't see the match, so I don't know. But I do remember there was people very upset with it. So I can see that being on this list. Most outstanding wrestler of the year, Kanosuke Takeshita. I love him, and I do think he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. My wrestler of the year last year was Bandito, but Takeshita had amazing matches too, even against Bandito at Ring of Honor. The most underrated wrestler of the year, Beast Mortos. Yeah, I could agree with that. That one isn't really making people mad. Most overrated wrestler of the year, Jey Uso. I don't know if people are mad about this one because people don't like him, it seems, but I don't think there should be categories like that. I don't think there should be like negative ones. Like, why is there a worst match of the year award? Like, this isn't the Razzies, you know? And it's just mean-spirited. I don't know. I don't like it. I feel like it's just like, I just think it's unnecessary. I mean, wrestling isn't real. So why are we like putting people down? I don't know, man. I just think it's not cool. They don't have like negative awards for Grammys. You know, it's like, I'm comparing it to that simply because they're both art that is rewarded, even though the reward system is fucked up, but whatever. Maybe not the Grammys, maybe like the People's Choice Awards, because that's voted on by fans, just like these awards, which is kind of my whole point here. People are mad that a lot of the positive awards on the Wrestling Observer Awards of 2025 were skewed towards AEW, and then the negative ones were skewed towards WWE. And they think that the reason for this, well, either the person doesn't understand that the fans vote for this, or they do know that, And they think that the fans voted these people in and these matches in and stuff like that because they're fans of Wrestling Observer, and Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez have guided their opinions towards liking this stuff and disliking that stuff. Now, I'm going to tell you right now why that is not true, okay? I do listen to the Wrestling Observer radio. I listen to Brian Alvarez. I like him a lot. I know he hates NXT. He says it's the worst show, and it was voted the worst show of the worst weekly wrestling show. Again, I don't think that should be a category, but whatever. I'm sure that the people who have the same taste as him maybe is the reason, or maybe they did, but think of it as so bad because they keep hearing him talking about how bad it is, and they maybe they don't watch it. But last year and the year before, most of the positive awards went to WWE. They won Promotion of the Year, not AEW. They won Booker of the Year, not Tony Khan. I don't think it's just because of the opinion. I mean, I would tell you this. I've listened to Wrestling Observer for years and years. 2 years ago, I can tell you that Dave Meltzer was not considering WWE the best promotion of the year, and they were not considering Triple H the best booker. By the way, I should mention that CMLL was promotion of the year, not AEW. But yeah, so all the like good awards, positive awards, best matches, best show, best pay-per-view, best, you know, weekly show, da-da-da, have been going to WWE for the last 2 years. So it isn't because the fans are being tricked or manipulated into thinking one way or the other because of listening to Wrestling Observer, because, like I said, Meltzer, Alvarez, they weren't big WWE guys this entire time. And people have been voting for the WWE stuff. So that simply isn't true. I think these awards are just silly in the first place. But I mean, you know, let's see. The best technical wrestler of the year went to Zack Sabre Jr. Okay. I think that that makes sense. I think he was the best technical wrestler of the year. Most improved, Harley Cameron. I would agree with that. But I don't know who was improved in WWE because I don't watch it. So I can't say, but... Gimmick of the Year, Tony Storm. I mean, I think everybody loves Tony Storm. I think people who don't even watch WWE, or sorry, people who don't even watch AEW love Tony Storm. So I don't know, man. I just think people, the tribalism that everybody's always talking about is leading people to be like, no, your show can't be winning awards. If it's winning awards, it's just not right. It's something, some kind of a lie, you know, but it's not the case, man. The last 2 years, WWE was on top, and they were the hot wrestling show that wrestling fans were enjoying the storylines of, the matches of, and the pay-per-views of. And now WWE is sort of losing favor with the fans, and it's harder to be able to watch, and people aren't enjoying how many commercial breaks there are or whatever it is. And that's not like that's not what we have over it in the fandom of AEW. And AEW, it's a show made for wrestling fans, whether you like that kind of a thing or not. It is not made for the mainstream. It's made for you and I. That's all the time I've got for tonight, Creamers. Remember this. I love you, and I wish you the best. God damn it, I miss Sammy Daddy.
Insane Clown Posse, you make your in-ring wrestling debut tomorrow night on Raw is War.
That's right! We finally get a chance to show our friends the oddities, and anybody else has been watching us get beat down, that we know what we're doing in the ring, combined with what they taught us in our own juggalo style of fighting. Kai and Tai, it's time to die and die.